to John chapter 13 this evening. John chapter 13. The title of this evening's message is Our Identity. There's a lot of different ways that we can identify people. Usually every weekend in the fall, there's one Saturday where in a stadium you can identify what type of person someone is based on whether they're wearing burnt orange or crimson. And last week you could kind of identify people based on whether they're wearing orange or crimson. Right, you can identify people a lot of times by T-shirts, by things they're wearing. We can identify people with driver's licenses. You guys, I know you guys never speed or get pulled over, but if you did, this is what happens: you get pulled over, and the policeman asks for your driver's license. So, I know you guys have never sped, but if you do someday, that'll happen. When you guys go to work, did anybody here wear a name tag at work? Daryl does. Says big dog on it, right? All right, there's different ways that we identify people. We sometimes use fingerprints in a crime, even dental records. All kinds of different ways, but I want you to think tonight, as believers, what is it in my life that people can identify me as a believer because? And what is it about your life where somebody would look at you and identify you as belonging to Christ? And there's some different ideas about ways that we could be identified as Christians, but really there's a biblical way that we ought to be identified as belonging to Jesus. So if you will, stand with me in John chapter 13. We're going to read two verses this evening. John chapter 13. Verse 34 and verse 35, the Bible says this, A new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another, as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one to another. Let's have another word of prayer together. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for your word. Lord, I pray that you would help us tonight to think about and really appreciate how much you love us. Lord, I pray that would motivate us to love you more and to love each other. We thank you so much for the grace that you give us each day. Lord, we ask you forgive us of our sins. And Lord, be with us tonight. Help us to bring honor and glory to you with everything we say and do here tonight. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. You may be seated. Here in our text, once again, the Word of God says, A new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another, as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. A new commandment. Now, does that mean when Jesus is talking to this audience here, does that mean that he's telling them for the first time they are to love one another? Like that was really a new thing? Was this the first time that Jesus had ever taught that they ought to have love for each other? Well, of course not. Leviticus chapter 19 and verse 18, Thou shalt not avenge, nor bear any grudge against the children of thy people, but thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. I am the Lord. Right, loving each other wasn't a new commandment as far as like a timeline goes, but that word new, I want you to think about it as fresh. When Jesus says, I have a new commandment, here's the idea, that this commandment to love each other is about to have a fresh meaning, a new meaning that you might not have understood before time. That is to say that the way that they'd be able to understand this commandment was about to change. And here's why. If you're familiar with John chapter 13 and kind of the surrounding verses, what's about to take place? Jesus is in the upper room, he's with his followers, and he's about to be arrested and crucified. And so the way that they understand love is about to change. And the way they understand God's love to man is about to be new, it's about to be fresh. And so this commandment to love each other was about to be expressed in a new way. And I want you to notice the demonstration of this love. In John chapter 13, once again, the Word of God, Jesus tells them to do this as I have loved you. As I have loved you. You know, the greatest example we have is Jesus. If Jesus did it, we ought to do it too. Whatever Jesus' attitude was, we ought to have. Whatever Jesus' actions were, we ought to do them. Jesus is our greatest example, and he set the example. And I don't know if you've ever thought about this, but when Jesus came to earth, it's not like he came as a full-grown man and just immediately went to the cross. He lived for 30-some-odd years, and I believe that Jesus did that so that we would have a record of his life and be able to look and watch and see his manner of life. And his disciples certainly benefited from following him and living with him and watching his interactions with other people. And even through the Word of God today, when we read the gospel accounts, we can see how Jesus lived his life. Amen. And what a benefit that is to us. Amen. And so this demonstration, as I have loved you, I want you to think that Jesus loved his followers faithfully. Amen. Jesus loved his followers faithfully. I know this is Sunday School 101 for you guys, but love is much more than an emotion, right? Amen. Love is a choice that you make. And I was thinking about this morning as I was preparing for this morning's message and thinking about John chapter 6 and how some of the crowd went away because of unmet expectations. But remember, the 12 stuck around. And I was just thinking about, listen, love is a choice that you make. You choose to continue loving someone. And when Jesus makes this command, a new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another as I have loved you, Jesus once again set that example to love us faithfully. And you say, well, some people are really hard to love. You are some people. I promise you that tonight, and let's be honest, let's just be real. We all know people who are hard to love. But there is someone out there who feels that way about you. You're married to them, right? Sometimes people irritate us. Well, sometimes you irritate other people. People annoy us. Sometimes you annoy other people. People are selfish, aren't they? Sometimes you're selfish. And we could go on down the list. Listen, any criticism you have towards people that makes them difficult to love, you're the same way. And I'm the same way. People always let me down. You let other people down. People are hypocrites. You're a hypocrite. Listen, whatever it is, whatever reason, excuse you might think of why it's hard to love people, we need to be sure to check ourselves because we're guilty of the same things. So Jesus demonstrates this love, though. Think about all the ways that his followers were hard to love. I mean, just read the gospel accounts of Jesus and his followers, and yet he tells them to love one another as I have loved you. That's despite the fact that when Jesus needed them, they couldn't even stay up. They'd fall asleep. In his greatest moment of need, if you will, they all scattered and ran away. One of his closest friends betrayed him and got him arrested. And listen, I understand that Jesus laid down his life willingly. Judas only did that because Jesus allowed it. But at the same time, there's still a human element there where Jesus' friend betrayed him. Amen. And his maybe his greatest friend, Peter, denied even knowing him 3 times. Amen. And think about all the things we don't even know about. The scriptures can only contain so much. And yet his followers would constantly let him down, and yet Jesus loved them anyways. Amen. Jesus knew that they had let him down. And you know, here's the reality. When he gave this commandment, and even when Jesus went to the cross, he knew that they would let him down in the future. And he still loved them. Amen. Jesus loved them faithfully, regardless of their faithfulness. He loved them sacrificially. And this is what made it a new thing. When he says this, a new commandment I give unto you, the sacrifice that Jesus was about to make is what was going to give them a fresh concept of what it means to love someone. That we are to love one another sacrificially. The world had never seen and has not yet seen love like what was shown on the cross. When Jesus laid down his life for us. And he did that despite our flaws and despite our sin. He sacrificed a life of ease. And I mentioned this a second ago. Jesus came and he lived for 30 years, setting an example for us. Do you understand that those 30 years before Jesus came to earth, he had no discomfort. He had no inconveniences. And yet he came to earth and he lived a life as a man among men, inconveniencing himself. Giving up a life of comfort and ease with the Father, and ultimately he sacrificed his own life on the cross for us. And greater love hath no man than this, that he lay down his life for his friends. And so this new commandment that he says, I give unto you that ye love one another as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. And just think about it, in this context, he's speaking directly to his followers. And this command to love one another, I want you to know tonight that we are to love all men. That there's no one in Muldrow that we ought not to love. Regardless, and you say, well, what about so-and-so who is living in this type of sin? I don't see, in my Bible, I don't see an asterisk that says, love all people except for these types of people. We are to love all people, but there should be a special, unique type of love that we enjoy with one another. Amen. There really should be. Listen, once again, he tells them, his followers, a new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. Amen. Galatians chapter 6 and verse 10 says, as we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith. You ought to do good to everybody. You ought to love every, but especially your brothers and sisters in Christ. And let's just be real for a second. Churches haven't always done a very good job of that, have they? Sometimes, churches where you go and feel loved the least based on how people can sometimes treat other people. Have you guys ever wondered if sometimes the reputation that churches have has been well earned? What a shame if we knock on a door, whether it be in Muldrow or Clinton or Tulsa or Oklahoma City, no matter where it is, if you knock on a door and someone's opinion of a church is it's full of gossips and backbiters and mean people, they might just be telling the truth. And that's not very loving. But we ought to love one another. What do we tell our kids when they're little? Treat other people the way you want to be treated. And then we get old and we forget that. Love one another as I have loved you. You say, well, that's really an impossible mark for me to hit. Well, it doesn't mean you shouldn't try. Amen. And notice the declaration of this love. A new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another. As I have loved you, that ye also love one another. By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one to another. Amen. You know how people should identify us as believers? It's by the unique love that we have for each other. Really, there should be a bond and a love that exists within this church that isn't duplicated anywhere else in Muldrow. There ought to be a love that exists between brothers and sisters in Christ that you can't experience outside of being in God's family. Amen. By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples. And let me just say this. We want to draw all kinds of lines of division. But the greatest mark for identifying brothers and sisters in Christ is the love they have for each other. And sometimes we draw lines where, and don't get me wrong, some things are important, but there's nothing more important than loving your brothers and sisters in Christ. Any group can be religious. Lots of groups are religious. We've been in Muldrow for, I guess, about a year and a half. There's a lot of different religious groups in Muldrow. It doesn't take much to be religious. But I believe, based on the Word of God, that only people who have truly experienced the grace that God has given them are able to extend that grace to others. This incredible love that Christ has shown to us on the cross, this faithful love, this sacrificial love, you have to know that love before you can experience and share that type of love with someone else. And let me just ask you, I don't know, but once again, what is it in your life? Is there anything in your life that somebody would identify you as a Christian because of? And is it the love you have for each other? Sometimes churches are identified different ways. I'm just going to tell you, I was in a church one time, and this angered me. It kind of gets my blood hot now. But I was at a graduation party for one of the teenagers in our church. And I was inviting one of their friends to come to our youth night. And when I invited him to said church, he said, "Oh, that's the church that hates clapping." And I thought, now listen, I know that's a debate that churches have had for a long time. But can we all agree that your reputation in the community shouldn't be as the church that hates clapping? Is there not a better reputation to have? Listen, it should be our goal that regardless of what anybody in Muldrow has to say about Calvary and Muldrow, they can't deny this, that the people there love each other. Amen. That should be the reputation of our church. That's what we should desire. Amen. That when the thought of Calvary Baptist in Muldrow crosses anyone's minds, regardless of any experience they've had here, regardless of things they've heard, they know this, those people love each other. And by this will all men know that we are his disciples if we have love one to another. You know, the outside world came up with the name Christians to identify the group of people who were living like Christ. And we're quick to claim the title as Christians, but I'm going to tell you right now that if you don't love your neighbor, if you don't love the people in these walls right now, if you don't love your community, you're not a Christian. You might be a child of God, you might be a believer, but a Christian is someone who is Christ-like. And once again, Jesus said to love one another as I have loved you. And so our lives ought to be filled with this type of love, loving God and loving each other. There's really no greater pursuit that our church has than to love God and to love each other. Remember when they came to Jesus and they asked what the greatest commandment was? What do you say? To love the Lord your God with all your heart, your soul, your mind, your strength. To love God with everything you have. And then love each other. And on this hangs all along the prophet. Listen, there's nothing more important than for us to love the Lord Jesus Christ. You say, well, we need to do this, we need to do that. Listen, if you love the Lord like you should, then those things will take care of themselves. A church that loves the Lord is going to be a faithful church. A church that loves the Lord is going to be a forgiving church. A church that loves the Lord is going to be a giving church. Listen, I'm just telling you that if we love the Lord, some of the problems that we experience won't be problems anymore. But we ought to love the Lord and we ought to love one another. Once again, a new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another, as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one to another. When I think about this type of love that Jesus is describing, the love that I have towards you, I always think about the story of Hosea and Gomer. You guys familiar with Hosea? If not, it's a really short book. You can read it tonight. But it's really an incredible story. And Hosea was this prophet, essentially, who had a bride who was continually unfaithful to him. But what did Hosea do? He would go back and he'd redeem her, and he continued to love her, and he chose to love her. And the picture that you see between Hosea and Gomer is the picture of Jesus and us. Amen. That even in our imperfections, even in our unfaithfulness, Christ remains faithful. And I'm so thankful for that, because Jesus is faithful when I'm not. Amen. And Jesus is faithful when you're not. And I want you to know tonight that if you haven't experienced this love from God, Jesus made that possible when he died for you on the cross. He died because he loves you. Amen. There was no other reason for Jesus to go to the cross other than loving his Father and loving us. And tonight, you can be forgiven of your sins, whatever they are, regardless of what you've done. If you come to Christ with a contrite heart, listen, you come to him and you ask his forgiveness and you trust in Jesus, then tonight he'll forgive you of your sins. He'll forgive you of the sins you've committed. He'll forgive you of the sins that you haven't yet committed. He'll take all of your sin debt away. And in the future, even when your flesh sins, you'll have an advocate with the Father who pleads your case because of his blood. And if you haven't trusted Christ, there's nothing that's more important for you tonight than to trust Jesus with all your heart. And to the believers in this room, I just want to encourage you tonight. I didn't want to keep you real long, but I wanted to be here in John chapter 13, and I just want to challenge our church. We're coming to the end of the year, and you know, New Year's resolutions are kind of silly because we don't have to wait till January 1st to change. Let's not wait until January to love each other more. But at the same time, is there a greater goal than we can have that, you know, regardless of what else happens in 2022, we're going to grow in love one to another. We're going to choose to love each other. Even when it's difficult. Even when someone upsets me. Even when someone sits in my pew. Even when someone changes the thermostat. We're all laughing because that's silly. But churches have split over dumber stuff than that. Well, let's all choose to love each other and be thankful that Christ loves us. I want you guys to stand with me this evening. Our musicians, you can come forward. You know what I love about the cross? Is that it's on the cross that we're able to see at the same time how much Jesus loves us, but also how much God hates sin. Because on the cross, Jesus, he took our place. He was our substitute. He took our punishment, our death. And the wrath of God was poured out on his Son because of our sin. And tonight, as I talk about this love that Christ has for us, I want you to understand that outside of Christ, if you are living in sins, if you have not trusted in Jesus as your Savior, you are yet undone. The wrath of God abides on you. And in this life, you have this window of opportunity to trust Jesus in this life. But someday, this life will end. And it'll be forever too late. And so tonight, once again, if you haven't trusted Christ, I beg with you tonight, call out to Jesus as Savior. Know the love that he freely gives and the forgiveness that he freely gives. Let's have a word of prayer tonight. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for your word. God, I pray that you would help us tonight to think about how faithful you are to us and how great a sacrifice you made for us on the cross. I pray if there's one tonight who has just been or just carrying the weight of their sin, the guilt and the shame, and God, I pray tonight that they would they would cry out to you for forgiveness and trust in Jesus. And I pray tonight that you would help us to always remember how great of sin we've been forgiven, Lord, so that we can appreciate the price that you paid. I pray that you would help us to love one another, that we would be sacrificial one to another. Lord, we would be faithful to love each other based on the example that you set. And in all things tonight, I just pray that we would please you, that you would be glorified with everything we do for the remainder of the service tonight. I want your will to be done in every heart that's here in this room before we leave here tonight. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Page 520.